Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Deep Space High, the sci-fi TV review podcast, where we break down the latest and not so greatest from today's sci-fi television. I'm one of your hosts, Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
So, Chris, some interesting news on our show front. You know, we have this episode, we have the next episode, and then we have one more of Discovery before we're all caught up and ready for season 4, which is not out yet.
When does season 4 come out? I don't think they've started recording yet, have they?
Yeah, they've started filming.
Did they? Didn't they just start filming Strange New Worlds?
Yeah, so Strange New Worlds will be like 2020. I think Discovery Season 4 will be like November 2021.
Did you say 2020 earlier?
Yeah, I think I'm in 2022.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a year ago. Hindsight 2020.
Yeah. I meant 2022. So Discovery should come out later this year.
Yeah, so I mean it'll be interesting to see you know where we go with the show, because how have we heard any news about the Orville? Because I know we've been wanting to watch. Even I heard that even if they did do it, they were only going to do one more season of the Orville.
Yeah, I have not heard much on the Orville, so honestly, I don't know.
Which is disappointing, because the Orville, in my opinion, was better than Discovery when it was coming out. Yeah, and I think it even had a higher viewership than Discovery.
Oh, I'm sure it did. But to talk about Deep Space High, Chris, as a lot of you may or may not know, Chris is working on his undergrad.
I am.
And he is almost done with his spring semester, about to go into the summer before he graduates.
Yes, I have about, this is the last week of regular course materials. I have study week next week and finals for my last semester. Should be in like 2 weeks from now, and then I gotta take a couple classes over the summer, and then I should be done with my Bachelor of Arts in Economics. Not history, as most people might think, but economics.
Yeah, so what we wanted to say was we are going to take a break from the show, give Chris a chance to finish his degree, and then that'll also give us a chance to kind of, you know, see what direction we want to go from here and pick it up in a couple months. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who haven't started tuning in, you know, it might just be a couple clicks on the thing. For those of you who tune in every week, we do appreciate you tuning in every week, but there will be a couple months in between episodes once we finish Discovery. So just want to make that clear, let everyone know, we'll remind everybody, and let Chris hopefully finish his degree. There's a 99% chance he'll screw it up, and that's my wager on it. So we'll see. Wow.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, brother. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah, and then we'll get a chance to figure out what we want to do with the show. Who knows? Maybe we'll incorporate it, you know, more than just sci-fi. Maybe we'll go full nerd fandom, get Marvel, DC, you know, all sorts of nerd shit in there, since, you know, both me and Steve are both huge nerds in that aspect as well. So you never know.
Yeah, never know. So just wanted to, you know, if some of y'all are listening for the first time or longtime listeners, just know, as of right now, we do intend to come back when Chris is graduating. It might be a little bit of a different show. And hell, it might even have a new name, or we might start a whole new show and just let everyone know.
Maybe. We'll find out in a couple of months.
We're kind of just winging it at this point until you can get done.
Yeah, I know, right? That's just how it feels for everything. I'm just winging it until I graduate. Believe me. These last 2 weeks are just going to be the toughest hump, because I'm doing... It doesn't help that all my classes dub as grad classes for this last semester, and it's been just overwhelming this last semester doing this podcast, the other podcast, graduating, and trying to make money at the same time. So, you know, but, you know, I do love the show, especially since we do most of the do Star Trek. So it just gives me an excuse to watch more Star Trek and then continue to learn and understand more about it. So I love the show, but I would really love to graduate. So we'll be back in a couple of months. We're still going to have a couple more weeks worth of episodes. So you're not going to get rid of us too soon or that easily.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going away without a fight.
You can do it. You can do it all night long.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it.
I mean, come on. I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm going to go do it.
But I say that's enough for that for now. What do we have in store for this week's episode?
So this week's episode, we have season 3 of Discovery, episodes 9 and 10, entitled Terra Firma, parts 1 and 2.
Where did Terra Firma come in? Because I know All right, long story short for the episode is we get... this is a pure Taryn Georgiou storyline. So yeah,
both episodes, which is kind of nice that we could just wrap it up into one big, you know, discussion on our end.
Yeah, I know, right? And it's, I don't know. I was going to say, what are your initial thoughts about the send-off for Georgiou? Do you think it was time for her to lead the show, or are you kind of disappointed that she left to begin with, or... You know, what were your thoughts about? Because that's, long story short, that's how it ended. Georgiou's gone. She's not returning to the Discovery. She's in a new time.
Yeah, and I'm assuming she kind of got sent back to her old time.
I don't know. I kind of hope they explained it a little bit more.
Or maybe further into the past. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. But initially, you know, I like Michelle Yeoh, who's the actor who plays her. She's a good actress. Was it time for her to go? Yeah, maybe they wanted to go in a new direction. They figured it was time to go and time to move on.
Maybe. I don't know, but I thought this was you said it earlier before we started recording that you didn't really love these episodes too much. I kind of liked them because we got more character development with the Taryn Georgiou. And this is something that you get to see more of the character arc when it comes to the Taryn Georgiou, because you saw her originally on the Taryn universe come back. You could see the way that she has grown and evolved to where essentially the concept of this episode was that, you know, Georgiou was starting to die. They needed to find a way to save her. They asked the Sphere Data if there was any way to save her, because apparently they know what's wrong with her, that because of the separation of the two universes and because they're in a different time, her body wants to be in the time and the same universe. So it's kind of fighting, and it's almost seems like she's phasing through materials, phasing out of existence. So they have to go to a planet which has a doorway and just some random dude sitting there, and
was weird. And the planet was Danis 5.
Yeah, but the second part of it made a lot more sense when you when you saw what that doorway was, it's like, I said, oh shit. I had that oh shit moment, like, oh, I know exactly what that is. I kind of saw it coming. I just didn't know if they were going that way.
Yeah, I had no idea, because apparently I did not watch these episodes of previous Trek.
Yeah, this, if you have to watch OG Star Trek to know this one. And this was, even the OG Star Trek that they based this episode off of, was actually one of my favorite ones that I've often talk about. It's, they go back in time, Kirk and Spock, to save Dr. McCoy, who goes crazy because he accidentally injects himself with some medicine, which in high doses causes insanity. So he beams down to the planet, which just so happens to have a random arch obelisk. He runs through, sends him back in time, and then he ends up going back to the 1930s, changes history to where the Nazis invented the H-bomb first.
I vaguely remember this episode now.
Yeah, and then Kirk and Spock have to go back, and it all was because McCoy saved one girl who ended up starting a peace movement, kept the Americans out of the war, and they had to, you know, stop that. So that's what the whole premise of the episode was about, that this is the same creature that sent Kirk and Spock back in time, just in the future, still alive, who sends Georgiou back in time and space, because it sends her back to her Terran universe,
mm-hmm.
to essentially judge her to determine if she's worthy of being saved. But it was interesting because we got to see, we know that Georgiou killed Brenham in the Terran universe, but we don't really get much story or detail or any depth about it. So I kind of like that they went.
It was nice seeing kind of how Georgiou was of old, you know, and how she has changed.
Mm-hmm. And how they talk, even how they talk about the change in that universe, how she was clearly different when she went back in time compared to the original Georgiou, the original mm-hmm. Terran. So it was nice seeing the character evolution, or kind of getting that jump back to see how much the character has evolved. And then you also get to see the emotional situation that she dealt with Brenham and try to resolve that. And then you also get to see Captain Tilly, or Killy, I should say.
Yeah, Captain Tilly.
You know, she wasn't as terrifying as I kind of imagined she would be.
No, she wasn't, and how Georgiou made her out to be, but...
I know, and then, they were talking about how she was the best, you know, interrogator, torturer in the universe, and I'm like, is she, though? Because she didn't even ask Brenham how many lights there were, so it's like, are you really that good at breaking people?
It's funny.
Hey, you got that reference.
I did get that reference. That was one episode where, because at the time I was watching Next Generation kind of while I worked from home during the pandemic. And it was one of those episodes that grabbed my attention more than it really needed to. Luckily, it was a slow day at work, so I didn't miss much. But that was one episode that did grab my attention. So
from the Next Generation,
but oh, yeah. granted, timeline wise, that occurs before Next Generation, so she could have been the greatest torturer up into the light situation.
That is true. That is a fair point. I'm kind of glad that you got that reference, but yeah, that was a very popular, very famous episode for Star Trek fans.
Oh yeah. I'm in a Facebook group of fellow Trekkies, mm-hmm. and that meme gets tossed around a lot, mm-hmm. or that reference. How many lights? Oh, how many lights do you see someone holding light bulbs, or, you know, showing their chandelier or whatever. How many light bulbs do you see? So it's, yeah, that one gets tossed around a lot. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice, to kind of pull it away mm-hmm. from the Georgiou storyline for a second, when Dr. Kolber and the other guy with glasses, kind of who did some of the interrogating
mm-hmm.
earlier in the series, did you catch the Kelvin reference? I'll take that long pause as a no.
I don't think so.
So what they were saying is, Georgiou is not the first person to experience these symptoms that mm-hmm. someone else had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lieutenant who was a part, or lieutenant commander, whoever, whatever. He was a part of the temporal wars. He was a time soldier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ended up crossing universes and jumping time, being a time soldier. And they were saying his original universe was created when a Romulan mining ship jumped back into the past.
No, I missed that part. I know the scene that you're talking about, because I remember that, but yeah. I was actually at the library studying multitasking at the time, so I missed that part. But that's interesting. So they connected, okay, they connected the Kelvin universe into the,
yeah,
almost like the Flash, where they have the multi-universe. They just kind of still in the same.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. So I thought that was an interesting, it was like enough to where I had to restart the episode after seeing that scene and rewatch it. And that's out of all two episodes or both of the episodes, that's the only section of notes that I took. Only thing I saw worthy is taking notes.
That's interesting. I did not notice that. Interesting. Let's see.
If you don't notice a clear Easter egg, are you even a Trekkie?
Yes. Because I was multitasking. At least I have an excuse.
Okay.
So.
But I just wanted to bring that up, see if you caught that, which obviously you did.
No, I did not. Yeah, because I noticed that they brought that up the first time. Let's see. Temporal Cold War. I'm trying to think what else there was to talk about through this episode.
Well, let's talk about... Okay, not really talk about. But throughout the episode, with how many times they name drop Captain Lorca, were you hoping a little bit that maybe he would come in for a cameo? Jason Isaacs, who played Lorca in season one. I was kind of hoping we could actually see him. But we do not.
I don't know. I didn't expect him to, because you knew that Lorca was, in this time, supposed to be back in the other universe by now. Because he wasn't in the Terran universe. That's why it seemed like she abandoned him, or he abandoned her.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why it's like, yeah, you kind of did. If you did see him, you would have known that this wasn't reality, that she didn't actually go back to the Terran universe. She was just perceiving a different time or different, you know what I mean? Because it seems like events were unfolding a little bit differently than the way that the time happened the first time. I guess that's the proper explanation for it.
Well, I think she knew that it wasn't exactly real, because she was still wearing that monitoring device for her vital signs on her wrist.
Right. Oh, man. Oh, what was it called? Because that reminded me of a scene that I did catch for another reference. The Coalition, that's it. So when Burnham was talking about the Coalition of Romulans, Klingons, Cardassians, Andorians, Tellarites, that was the Coalition that actually overthrew I think that was the Coalition, but there were several rebellions that happened in the Terran universe, but that was supposed to be the reference to the Coalition that actually did overthrow the Terran Empire. But then again, that whole Terran timeline is actually a little bit confusing, because supposedly Georgia was supposed to be the Empress, and then she was supposedly dead because she went to the other universe and the Empire kind of fell because they destroyed their flagship, which had all, you know, everybody in it. And if the Emperor supposedly dead, you know, the Empire is still around in the Star Trek original series universe. And then Spock was supposed to eventually becomes the Emperor, and that's part of the reason why the Empire fell, was because of the reforms he put in place. One of the rebellions finally took hold and eventually won. So still a lot of question marks when it comes to the Terran universe. I kind of would have liked them to, if they were going to do this flashback like they did, to kind of clear up some of these. And maybe they did with Saru, but even then, it's still... I don't know.
Yeah, we got it. We saw a nice, Well, a nice of change of character development, the way Giorgio has evolved from when we first saw her as the Terran Empress until, you know, when she goes back in time, essentially, and it pretty much, passes the test of, I think it was Gary, whoever the old guy with the newspaper is guarding the portal. You know, he put her through a test to see how much she has changed, because she was used to be such a violent and tormentive person that he couldn't risk putting her in another timeline and screwing everything up. And she passes the test, even though the results were very similar, where she ended up killing Brenham, but as he explained, her hands were tied. You try to take different routes, more peaceful routes. You try to change her, you can see you changed in accepting Kelpians and letting Saru, or Saru's counterpart, which is unnamed in the Mirror Universe, go through Valhalla. Yeah, letting him go through Valhalla. So, you know, even though she is still a violent bitch, she has grown and changed and became more accepting of people and tries to see the better in everyone and tries to find a peaceful solution. I won't say more than, you know, taking the violent route, but in these circumstances, yeah, instead of going the violent route and executing Brenham when she discovered her treachery like she originally did.
Hmm. See, now I'm curious. Did you notice that they actually changed the intro?
Yeah, instead of like a yellow intro, it was a blue intro.
Mm-hmm. They kept the same instead music,
the same music, and instead of seeing like Star Trek emblems, the typical Federation badges, you see the Terran Universe badges, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Usually don't watch the intro too much, but I did catch the color differentiation.
They like to do that when they do it specifically for the Mirror Universe, and it's something that
Enterprise, they did it in season one.
Yeah, and it's something that the Enterprise would do when they're in the Mirror Universe. They set up the intro different, kind of let the audience know that they're in a different universe. And it's especially noticeable with Enterprise, given that everybody loves the theme song to Star Trek Enterprise. So when it changed up,
it was one of those things. Brief tangent. I like the first two seasons, the theme song. I did not like the second two because they do change it in the season.
Yeah, it was
really good the first two seasons. Then they changed same song, but they altered it a little bit, and I did not like it.
Yeah, Faith of the Heart. It's weird because it's I think people knew. I think Star Trek kind of figured out that people didn't actually like the theme song, and they tried to change it, make it a little bit peppier, and it didn't work out very well. The kind of the thing with Enterprise, not to tangent too much, but it's one of those to where everybody hates it at first, but as you keep listening to it, it just keeps growing on you until the point
the Enterprise one. People hated the Enterprise theme song.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they.
Hated I loved it from episode one.
No, they hated it because it's.
Well,
it's,
I'm not a part of the.
Yeah,
I do my own thing.
Well, there's a lot of different groups within Star Trek. I think another common Star Trek group is the anti-Wesley group. You know, people hated Wesley. I think that, you know, when you talk about Star Trek memes, I think the most common Star Trek meme is "Shut up, Wesley" meme.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Shut up, Wesley.
That. Yeah, shut up, Wesley.
Yeah. But no, I like that theme. Anyways, we'll
I did too.
We'll transition back.
It's almost like one more tangent. You know the what was the name? The Thousand Mile Song from How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm. The Pretenders. Yep. 500 miles. I will.
That's
walk
almost what it feels like. Just that wave to where it's
I will walk 500 miles.
Yeah. When you hear it over and over again, it's like. Okay, I'm just sick of it. I'm ready to be done with it. I hate it. And then the wave comes back again to where you're just singing along, jumping, and then just the wave. That's how Enterprise feels with their theme song.
No, and the first two seasons of Enterprise, I always love that song coming on.
Yeah.
Sometimes more than the entire episode itself, but we're digressing. Yeah. Let's digress. Yeah. Or regress?
All right.
Ungress?
I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not an English major. I'm better with numbers and processes. Anyway.
All right. So.
So here's a question I'll pose. Since we see a lot of changes, we see a lot of Terran counterparts. You know, there's not much. I won't say there's not much to talk about. We could talk about a lot of things. But here's something I really was thinking after the episode ended. And I was hoping we would get an idea. But my thought is, and I'll pose the question to the podcast. What's next for Giorgio? Is anything next for Giorgio?
I don't know. And I really hope that they come back to the Giorgio storyline. Because, like, hell, they could do her... If they do it right, she could get her own show.
Mm-hmm.
And if she could be in her own timeline to where she's kind of doing her own thing. Because he did say it was going to be a lot of challenges for her. Maybe rewatch it, see if there's any Easter eggs in what he's saying to kind of give a hint of where it could go.
Yeah, but, and my thought was, jumping off of your thought process, you know, because what we know of the future timeline, the mirror universe and the main universe are drifting apart, and that's part of the reason why she's going through these severe side effects of, like, phasing and whatever else she's going through. So because I think the original jumping point that she made would probably be, you know, he was saying it's twofold, because she's in the wrong time and in the wrong universe. That's why she feels it, versus the rest of the Disco crew who's just in the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
I think because you don't put her in the mirror universe, you either put her in her own universe or maybe the Kelvin universe, since they tease that, or they that send her back to the they send her to the main universe.
Wouldn't that
at
be
the
fun
same time
you, that, wouldn't as, that be fun if you see her in Star Trek 4?
That'd be weird, but she is a big enough actress to make the leap. I mean, she was in Crazy Rich Asians. She is a big screen caliber actress.
She can do the big screen. She's mm-hmm. going to be doing Guardians of the Galaxy, or not Guardians of the Galaxy, but they teased her in the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with the Ravengers as part of one of the Ravenger groups.
Was that her? I don't remember. I'll have to go back and watch. But yeah, okay. I'll have to go back and watch. One of those, but, you know, here's the thing about it with her exit or departure from Discovery. Is it because maybe she wants to go on to other projects? Is it because the writers don't feel like she is needed on the show anymore? So they kind of written her off and now could put her in other shows or in another timeline or even her own show? You know, what's the thought process there then?
I don't know.
You know, and it's kind of one of those, I haven't done any research. Maybe Michelle Yeoh was just ready to move on to other projects. Maybe
that
the writers
didn't
want her in Discovery anymore because they didn't feel like she would be a fit with the direction they were taking the show.
I think it could be other projects because she's been a hot name right now. And I think she signed on for a couple other new shows. I think she did. I can't confirm this, but I thought she signed up with something with Disney related. I don't remember if it was MCU or if it was Star Wars, but I thought I remember reading that she signed on somewhere. But I don't know, because I would kind of like her to continue with in the Star Trek universe, because I think she's actually been doing a good job. I actually like the character. I like the way that she plays. She plays the role well. She plays the character. It's a very well-performed character, I should say. So, I don't know. I would like to see what they do with her. It'd be interesting. I hate to say this. This is what I personally would like to see them do with her, is actually send her back to not the same universe, the Terran universe, but stick with the same Prime universe, just go back to a different time closer to her time, so that way you're only dealing with one of the, and you send her back to the late 22nd century to help fight the Romulan war with the NX-01 back to late Archer times, because that's something that they wanted to go into for Enterprise, but they couldn't explore it because they canceled the series. and they were going to kind of explore the Romulan Star Empire and how we got that first war that brought up the neutral zone. That would be interesting. Have her kind of go back in time, similar time frame, not too far into the past, and maybe get her involved that way.
You know, one of the things I was saying up until season three was, you know, they're doing this Section 31 show. So I was like, okay, I always thought Michelle Yeoh would be leading it until she jumps into the future with Discovery. And then I'm like, okay, maybe the guy who plays Tyler, Ash Tyler, is going to be leading it. So I like my theory, because it's my theory, that she's going to go back to probably the exact moment Discovery leaps into the future and pick up, or maybe once what's her face, Michael gives the signal a few months down the road, and she will join Section 31 in that show. So she will be the lead. So that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Could be.
If she still wants to be in the Star Trek universe. If not, then, you know, it's a good send off for her, and, you know, we don't have to see the character ever again, or that she goes back to the Prime universe where you could still see Spock, Ash Tyler, and whatever else, and have her and Ash Tyler actor lead the Section 31 show.
I don't know. I mean, that would be interesting, and it would be a plausible explanation to send her back, because, I mean, it was, again, same thing that I said earlier, same time, just different universe. So you're kind of like Discovery, they're right universe out of time. It'd be the same for Georgia, to where, you know, her cells won't fall apart because you're dealing with both the drifting universe.
Yeah.
And in the wrong time. So, I mean, it's definitely plausible. Probably more likely than my suggestion, even though my suggestion would be a lot more fun to explore.
But yeah, yours would be more fun.
That's the
mine problem. Sucks Star the Trek. Fun out of it, which sounds like, you know, current Star Trek. So
that's what sucks about Star Trek. Star Trek does. They need to start getting into the history of the Star Trek universe. Like start making some movies about Khan and the eugenic wars in the 90s of the Star Trek universe. Start talking about World War III. Start talking about Armin Star Empire. You know, there's so much more in the known universe that's kind of talked about, but a lot of untapped potential. Almost like,
well, they Star also Wars need to have the fun with Republic. It. Like, I don't feel I'm having fun. Like, one thing nice about Mandalorian or Clone Wars or even Lower Decks, there was episodes where I was having fun and I was enjoying the episode.
Yeah.
And I don't feel it in Discovery too much. I mean, there's an episode here and there where you feel like it's a pretty good episode. It's a little fun or exciting, or, you know, not really on the edge of your seat, but it's just, it's,
well, the thing with,
it's good.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Lower Decks is, I hate to say it, Lower Decks, I love Lower Decks, because I think before we watched Lower Decks for the show, I often said that I had no interest in really watching it. I didn't think it was going to be good or funny. I love Lower Decks because it stays true to Star Trek. And I think it's kind of like the Dave Filoni situation with The Mandalorian. Part of the reason why The Mandalorian was so good is because Dave Filoni knows Star Wars. He gets what Star Wars is. He gets what George Lucas's message is, and he can write stories that are great and relevant to the Star Wars universe. But Star Trek, I don't think we have a Dave Filoni. Or if we do, it was whoever wrote and produced or directed Lower Decks. I mean, I love Jonathan Franks. He's a good director. I think he understands Roddenberry's vision well. I think he's the best that really understands his vision. And I don't think he's a great writer. No, I don't think he's a writer. And I don't think that... You know, Franks is kind of the closest that we got to that Filoni, and I don't even think even him is – he's not even that good, to be 100% honest. So you got people who don't know anything. You got the same people who are writing these shitty-ass Hollywood movies and scripts that do it to appease themselves, not the fans. You know what I mean? And it's kind of the thing with Hollywood. It's part of the reason why the Oscars are – tanked. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah,
but the Oscars,
we're not getting into that.
Well, I mean, it's
they had the worst ratings ever. So that's all we'll say about it.
Views from 10 years ago, they were up to 43 million views. You know, they keep making. Well, the point that I'm getting is they make stuff for themselves. They don't actually make things for the people. So they're appeasing themselves and they love it. You know, it's all the shit that they want, but nobody else likes it.
Well, we're going to move on. Got some good points, but we'll move on. We'll talk about. So what'd you think of these two episodes? I know we haven't really gone into the episode's detail. If you listen to this podcast, you really should have watched the episode yourselves, which I hope you did. But it was, what'd you think of it? What'd you think of maybe some of the other characters like Book chipping in and helping uncover? We didn't even talk about Sarut, the signal that the Discovery uncovered, how it was a doctor on board of a Kelpian starship.
Yeah, it was a Kelpian too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it was about the radiation burns or something.
Yeah, and they sent a distress signal, and the distress signal is still active after 150 years. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, they kind of glossed over that. It almost seemed like these episodes.
That's setting up for like the next episode. Yeah. Well, it seemed like they wanted to give Giorgio a send off, so they put two episodes together that really didn't need to be in there, or at least not as detailed.
I'm kind of glad that they did, though. I know you weren't the biggest fan of these, but I actually thought these were.
So here's what I'll say, and I'm actually kind of changing my opinion as we talk about it. I like the character development aspect and the send off, the proper send off for an actress and a character we've seen for 3.5 seasons. I did not like how it tied into the overall story of the season.
That I can agree with. Did you notice? Ooh. I don't know if you noticed this. Did you notice that Arium was back on the Terran ship?
Yeah, that threw me off because I kept looking at that actress and I was like, she looks vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. When they said Arium, I was like, okay.
That's her before all the... But it really
didn't look... Because there's... It didn't look like the same actress. Maybe because... You know, we see mostly Arium in blue with the exception of the one clip of her husband and her on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like the same actress. I didn't do any research on it. Shame on me. You know, research guy over here slacking at his job. That was cool to see if that was the same actress, which I'm pretty sure it would have been.
Yeah, because it was very brief. But mm-hmm. I just noticed that and I picked that up. I'm like, oh, is that supposed to be Arium? Oh, that's nice.
I almost missed it because she was a part of the background and it was a quick name drop. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of dropped it. But back to what we were talking about earlier, I agree with you. It didn't really add, as far as we know, it didn't really add much to the overall storyline.
Yeah, it's like you get some information with that Kelpian scientist. They're having an idea of what might have happened, but it's really setting up. I think what's going to happen in the last, because we have...
I think we have four episodes.
No, three episodes left. So yeah, we'll watch the next two, and then the series finale we will go over by itself. So we have three episodes left. I really think they're going to solve the burn this next episode. And then they're going to deal with the emerald douchebags in the season finale.
They need to get a better villain.
Yeah, well, I don't even know. It's the emerald whatever. I don't even know.
They need to get more organizations.
It doesn't feel like there is an overall villain, and maybe that's the flaw in this season, because you do have it with the Emerald Hand and the green bitch.
Yeah.
But it's like she's there but not really there. She's there by mentioning, oh, because as they mentioned in these two episodes, they are doing training exercises in whatever quadrant, preparing for something, and it's like, okay, so they're there, but they don't feel like a threat.
Right. Well, yeah. They haven't really gone over the map. They haven't gone over how the Federation's been broken up. What are the new factions? Who are the new players that have filled the power vacuum left by the Federation? You know, we know that a lot of the former core worlds of the Federation are no longer part of it, i.e. Vulcan. It's not part
Vulcan
of it.
Vulcan and Earth.
Earth. Neither one. Hell, Earth was the focal point of the Federation.
Andoria, and now it doesn't seem like it's a part of it either.
Right. So you got a lot of...
Who do you have it in? It's like...
I don't know.
The Kelpians? That's a good question. That's about it. I mean, I don't maybe it mentioned it somewhere, but it seems like a lot of the founding mm-hmm. planets are not a part of it.
So it seems like if it's me and I'm like, okay, we need to figure out where we're going to take the Star Trek from here based off where we're at, we should go and explore the new power vacuums and try and reestablish relationships with a lot of these planets and rebuild the Federation. Go into diplomacy, go into conflict resolution, go more in the episodics, you know, rather than a main villain. And
to main make it antagonist. Quick, which I don't agree with them doing, but I can see them saying, explaining that in the introduction or the preface of season 4, episode 1, where they explain that they have, like, say 2 years have passed and they have been going and trying to reconnect the Federation and Earth has signed on, but Vulcan or whatever Vulcan's called now.
I don't remember.
I don't have last week's notes up to remember. So whatever Vulcan's called now is they haven't joined yet, and Andoria is still hesitant to join, but the Kelpians are back in it. And I can see that being the preface of and being explained in episode 1 of season 4 versus, you know, kind of seeing that the struggles that they might be going through to connect the core worlds. I mean, yeah. We could talk about that in our season finale episode where we're doing predictions of season 4, but that's kind of what I'm thinking they're going to do.
I don't know. We'll get an idea of what they're planning on doing over these next 3 episodes. If this is going to, what they're going to stick with as their main villain or storyline or plot for next season, if it's just kind of a fill-in to, I don't know. The season's not bad. I just am not sure of the direction that the season's trying to go in. And that's what's confusing. That's what it seems like they're going in. But
yeah, because if you think about it, we've had like at least 3 episodes. Episode 5, which was of Lieutenant Na, the security officer, who got her final goodbye. And then these 2 episodes of Giorgio getting her kind of backstory character development before she gets a send off. It feels like it's just been one going away party after another for this season.
A little bit. And I don't think it has anything to do with casting or changing directions, you know, going from season 2 to season 3. Like, okay, we don't like the direction we're going.
It almost feels like a filler season.
Kind of does.
And that's a shame, given
the worst part is that the filler season's better than the first 2.
Actually, have plots and story so far.
Well, I would. In my opinion, season 3 has been better than season 1 and 2, in my opinion.
I wouldn't go that far. But your opinion is your opinion, even though it's wrong. So I have one more question or talking point. What did you think of Saru not wanting to help Giorgio in a time of, we'll say, quote unquote, crisis when the fleet's at yellow alert because Emerald Hand is performing hand jobs in the middle of some sector getting ready to unload their firepower?
That's fine.
I did not write any of that down. That was just all off the top of my head. Yes. And it was unintentional, so I just rolled with it. You know, one tug at a time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what do you think of Saru not wanting to help Giorgio? Because, as he said, the needs of the many in this case definitely outweigh the needs of the one.
Well, I thought that they were moved past the idea of the Vulcan Proverbs. But I guess not.
Nope.
It was unexpected. It was probably the right move for him as a captain to... He's trying to prove to everyone that, you know, he is the right guy for this job. He's trying to prove to... He's got to prove to the Admiral, he's got to prove to the crew that he is the best man for the job, that he is meant to be in that chair, that he needs to be able to make the hard decision. And that's part of making the hard decision is we're needed at a time's moment, or at any time, a moment's ready.
You need to be on, need to be on notice.
We need to be ready. We're going to be on yellow alert, high alert. And we need to be ready to jump at any moment because we're the only ones with the spore drive that could jump. To you know, even though it is one person and we love her, we can't, you know, we gotta prioritize. So captain wise, it was probably the right move, but it was a little bit unexpected given, you know, the history that they have together.
Yeah, I was a little, you know, I won't say surprised, but caught off guard when the Admiral, but he explained it in a good way, that that the Admiral felt that they needed to do this mission, and that it's more of a, instead of the weight, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one, it's more of a, hey, your crew, a member of your crew is in trouble, and you are not willing to go to whatever lengths necessary for it, and that's a good way to lose the trust of the crew, or, you know, lose the faith of the crew.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, the Admiral gives him a little lesson, given that Saru's a very new captain. I forgot what his words of advice were. But he gave him some good advice that... Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was. So terrible podcast that was over here. You know, can't do my research and forgetting the quote, even though I had it in my head 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. I don't know what the quote is, but if you can't... You can't fight for your crew. Why should you expect your crew to fight for you?
Yeah, and that was part of it. But there was something else, I think, at the end of episode 2 that was said. Part 2. What advice he gave.
Well, I do remember that part. But that was, I thought, in reference to him seeing a member of his own species relative to, you know, the Kelpian who sent the message. As regards to,
yeah, that was part of it. Like I said, there was a line. It was like, oh, that's cool. That makes sense. I like it. I'm going to bring it up. And then didn't write it down. Forgot what it was. And you know, now we're going to have to move on without me remembering.
Sorry.
So, yeah.
The audience is used to it. Part. Yeah, they're used to it.
No, they're used to your screw-ups, not my screw-ups.
Usually they're used to screw-ups.
So. So your screw-ups, not my screw-ups. Yeah. But yeah, you know, after 49 shows, it's a matter of time before I screw up once.
Yeah.
No, I'm not taking ownership of your. I'm not taking ownership of some of your mess ups.
Yeah, apparently you messed up too. So.
No, I do mess up. Once every 49 episodes.
Please.
Anyways, so overall, you like the episode?
Yeah, I liked them. You know, again, you brought up the point. Didn't really do much to develop the overall storyline for the season, but they were good character development episodes, and they were nice for Georgiou. And I think that if I think she kind of deserved the send-off, and I'm kind of glad that they gave it to her. I think of most of the characters, I think she deserves it the most, and I think that when they write Brenham off, they should just kill her off. So, you know, if they were to do that,
they're not.
I think she was the one that...
She's going to be the face of the show, and that's...
God, I hope not. They need to stop.
Annoying because I don't care for her too much, so
they need to stop with the idea of one person being the face of the show for Star Trek. That's just not what Star Trek is.
Well, that's the nice part about these two episodes. It did get away from feeling like Brennan was the main character, where the focus was shifted towards Georgiou. So
I know at least
that was nice.
It's nice that we're starting to see some other characters get episodes dedicated to them and their storyline, like for the rest of the Star Treks. Like hell, even the original series, everybody knew that Kirk was the center of the show. Like it was supposed to be all about Kirk. You know, it was all about William Shatner, and they even joked about it in Galaxy Quest. You know, Tim Allen. Oh, it's always got to be about you. You know, the Tim Allen supposed to be.
Oh yeah, when Alan Rickman is delivering that line.
Right, and somehow always manages to get a shirt off. I mean, it's a rip on Kirk.
Yeah.
You know, but even then, it was Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. It was three main focal point, three characters that they kind of made the show around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't only Kirk. It wasn't only Kirk, the one with the storylines. Everybody.
Yeah. No, I get your point.
Yeah. That's why it's just the Brenham stuff is frustrating, and they need to. That was why the Georgiou was a nice change, and that's why I thought they were good episodes. You got more about the Terran universe. You get to see more fighting, more action. You don't. It was a good. There were good episodes. I liked it.
Yeah. Okay.
I like
it. Like I said, as my opinions changed a little bit, I like the development that they gave Georgiou and the send off. I did not care. You know, I didn't care much. Like, it was one of those, I liked it, but I didn't need it. I didn't need it. You kind of knew Georgiou has changed. And
do you really even need the season?
I really don't even need the series.
That's fair. I don't think anybody needs the series.
No. Needs? No. Will I watch it? At least once.
Well, we need more Lower Decks. That's what we need.
Yeah, and it's coming. And
I'm excited.
And Strange New Worlds, that's Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds. It's the only thing I'm looking forward to. Not Discovery Season 4, not Picard Season 2. Maybe a little more now that they tease Q in Picard Season 2, but yeah.
Not Michael Dorn's coming back.
That's a tease. It's not confirmed, though.
So. No, that is confirmed. He confirmed it.
We'll see.
Dorn came out and said that he's back.
Yeah, and I thought someone said no. Dorn's full of shit.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see.
We'll see. But anyways.
I mean, Dorn has appeared in more Star Trek episodes than anybody else in Star Trek history.
True. So, anyways, that's all I got for this episode. Do you have anything else you would like to bring up?
No, I think I'm good. Okay. I'm good.
Should we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it, kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it! Punch it!
Punch it, hot mate! Punch it! Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
All right, well, what do we got in store for next week's episode then?
So next week's episode, it is more Star Trek Discovery, but it is our second to last episode on Star Trek Discovery, at least until season 4 comes out. So Star Trek Discovery Season 3, Episodes 11, Sukol, and Episode 12, There is a Tide with ... Episode 12 is, again, directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Now, he didn't do these episodes, did he?
No, the director was Omar Madha for 9, and then Chloe Domont for 10.
All right, All right, well, I guess that will do it for this week's episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High, and be sure to join us next time as we continue our discussion on Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High and hashtag Tacos and Trek. Also, don't forget to follow our Facebook page, where we will also put the hiatus notice, and we will also give a notice when we're getting ready to come back. So follow our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews, and our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast. Yeah, Deep Space High Podcast.
And we also want to ask everyone to please leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It really helps out the show. It really helps boost viewership. And please spread the word. It helps us out. You know, it helps us figure out the direction that we're going to go with the show. And please leave a review if you want some input on the direction of the show going forward, what we watch next, what we review next. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, or email us deepspacehighpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And live long and prosper. Yeah.